I want you to turn to Psalm 107. We're going to look in the first and second verses. Then we're going to drop down verses 19 and 20. Hallelujah. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Then we'll drop down to verses 19 and 20. I want to touch on and minister on it's God's will to heal. Amen. Healing is God's will, but you've got to take it on beyond that. Healing is God's will for me. Amen. You got to make it personal. Healing is God's will for us, and you got to bring you into that us. It's one thing to believe God is the healer. It's another thing to believe He is your healer. And we know that God's healing is for me because it's in the redemptive plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've got to renew your mind to that and get it according to the Word of God. In Psalm 107 and verse 1, David says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Oh, we could just stop right there, couldn't we? Notice we serve a good God. Amen. For He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand or the power or the control of the enemy." Thank God redemption belongs to all of us, doesn't it? Amen? And we're to thank God because He's a good God, and He, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has redeemed us from the control and the power of the devil. We no longer have to be controlled by the enemy. Amen? You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live in darkness. You can come out of all of that and come over into the light of God's revelation and of His redemption and walk in victory. And notice He says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You should be talking your redemption, shouldn't you? Can I have a good amen? Amen. You shouldn't be talking defeat, failure, destruction, sickness, bondage. You should be talking your redemption and who you are in Christ and what He's done for you. Praise God. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm redeemed from the powers of darkness. I'm redeemed from the devil's control in my life. Amen. Now, why we say that? Because we earned it and deserve it? No, we get it because the Lord is good and His mercy towards us endures forever. Hallelujah. In other words, every blessing I get from God comes to me because of His goodness and because He's a merciful, gracious, good God. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm saved not because I could get good enough to get saved. I'm saved because God is a good God. He looked beyond my faults, loved me anyway, sent Jesus to die for me and raised me up with Christ. Hallelujah. Released His mercy into my life. But now jump down here to verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I thought those were the redeemed from the hand of the Lord. They're supposed to be saying they're redeemed. But now David gets down here and he says those same redeemed people are in trouble. Anybody here ever get redeemed, make Jesus your Lord, and still have some trouble in your life? Huh? Come on. See, the Bible teaches we're going to still have troubles even though we're saved. Boy, wouldn't it be great, somebody said, if we could just get saved and have no more troubles. I said, I can fix that. They said, how's that? I said, well, when we baptize you, I'll pray extra long. Amen. When you quit bubbling, we'll say amen and send you right on to Jesus. Hallelujah. That way you got saved and you never had any more troubles. But as long as you're in this life, you're going to have troubles, aren't you? So look what he says. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. What's he saying? Even though you find yourself in a test or you find yourself under attack, that's not a time to turn away from the Lord. That's not a time to quit believing in His goodness. That's not a time to think He's not merciful anymore. That's not a time to continue to stop the continual confession of the Lord is good. Amen? Are you listening to me? He's saying in the midst of your test and your trial and your trouble, or if it's sickness or whatever it is, that's when you cry out to the Lord, praise God. That's when you turn to your Redeemer the most, praise God. So he says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Notice that they're in their trouble. and he saved them out of their distresses. Glory to God. Look at that. The Lord knows you're going to have trouble. He knows you're going to be attacked. He knows there's still a devil on this planet, and he's still roaming about seeking whom he may devour. He's still a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord is still good, and his mercy endures forever. Even in your trouble, the Lord will be there waiting on you to release your faith in him so he can deliver you out of that trouble and out of that distress. Amen? Well, how's the Lord going to deliver me out of my trouble and out of my distress? Verse 20, and here's where we wanted to get to. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Notice that? Well, how's the Lord going to deliver me when I find myself in trouble? Well, you know, I'm going to feel it, praise God. No, it didn't say he's sending a feeling to you. Well, I believe somebody's going to prophesy over me. No, he didn't say somebody's going to send somebody to prophesy over you. He said, in their trouble, they cried unto the Lord, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Amen? You know how God works? He works through his word. Amen. Notice he said he would send his word to heal you. He would send his word to deliver you. Who's going to get healed? Who's going to get delivered? Those who receive his word in times of trouble. Amen? Meaning what? God is going to give you his word in your trouble, and now you're facing a decision. Am I going to keep my eyes on my trouble, on my sickness, on my problem, or am I going to put my eyes on the word of God? Because deliverance and healing is in the word. And for me to get delivered, I'm going to have to receive the word. I cried to the Lord for help, and he gave me his word to help me. Praise God. Isn't it amazing? We as believers, we say, oh, I believe in the Lord. And we cry, Lord, I need your healing. And God whispers a scripture to us and tells us to stand on his word. And then we say, can I have something else? But God says, no, if you're going to get healed, you're going to get healed based on the word. If you're going to get delivered out of your problem, you're going to do it through the word, because God always works through his word. Amen? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So if I'm going to get faith, guess what? I have to hear God's word. Well, somebody said, well, Brother Hummel, would you pray for me to have faith? Well, I just wouldn't do you any good. We could pray till the cows come home, and you still wouldn't get any faith. Why? Because faith doesn't come by praying. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Amen? In fact, if you're struggling with something, instead of coming up to somebody and saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? What you should say is, Pastor, would you teach me the word so I can have faith to believe God? Amen? Amen? Because faith is a result of hearing the word. Healing is a result of hearing the word. Deliverance is a result of hearing the word. I have to hear the word before these things will operate in my life. Amen? You got saved with the word of God. Remember what he said in 1 Peter 1:23? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, what? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. Come on, how did you get saved? You heard the word. Remember what Peter told James and the apostles in Jerusalem when he went to Cornelius' house and they questioned him why he preached to a group of Gentiles. And he said, well, an angel had appeared to him and said, send to Joppa and get Simon, and he'll come over and tell you words by which you and your household shall be saved. Amen. So for you to get born again, you got to get born again according to the word of God. You can't get born again because of a feeling. That's why people backslide. They come to the altar and they cry and weep and snot all over themselves and say, God, forgive me. And then they walk off and leave, and the feeling leaves, and they don't think they got anything. Well, the best way you can get born again and stay born again is receive what the word says. Romans 10:9-10. That if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made unto salvation. And then when the feeling's gone and the devil's lying to you, telling you go back in sin, you can look at him and say, Mr. Devil, I acted on the word of God. I got born again by the word of God. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Believe God raised him from the dead. I believe he's Lord, and I confessed him as my Lord, and according to the word, I am a saved child of God. Amen. That's how you have to do it. If you don't do it that way, it's not going to work for you. Hebrews 1:3, the Bible talks to us over there how God, you know, Jesus being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things. Look at this. And upholding all things by the word of His power. Where's the power of God? It's in the word of God. Amen. So the first thing I need to do if I'm going to know the will of God is I have to know the word of God. If I want God to heal me, I need to receive His word. If I want God to deliver me, I have to receive His word. If I want God to save me, I need to receive His word. If I want God to give me faith, I need to receive His word. If I want God to lift me up and hold me up in my situation, I have to receive His word because it's the word of His power. Amen? Hebrews 1 goes on and he says over there, he says this, that God's word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. So God's word is a living thing. God's word speaks to us God's will. And if I want God's will in my life, I have to receive God's word in my life. Amen. Now look over in Matthew's gospel, the 9th chapter. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Let's see if this is true about the Lord Jesus. You know, He's the express image. We just saw that there. He's God expressing Himself. He's God incarnate into this world. In Matthew chapter 9, the Lord Jesus is ministering. And you pick it up down here in verse 35 and look what He says. Then Jesus went about all Galilee, all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. This is all throughout Galilee, Capernaum, that way. And what was Jesus doing in all these cities and villages? Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know, a lot of times I believe we just read the last part of that verse. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But do you notice that before Jesus did any healing, He first did some preaching? You ever notice that in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, He put the delivery of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word first, and then He put the ministry to the people second? It was always word first, healing second. Amen? Why? Because all faith is developed through the word of God. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if I'm going to get faith, I have to hear what Jesus has to say. And if I hear what Jesus has to say, then I can have what Jesus said He would do. Oh, you didn't hear me. Come on. Let's get it. If I hear what the Lord Jesus has to say, then I can have what Jesus said He would do. But a lot of us want to have what Jesus will do without hearing what Jesus has to say. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I'm talking to you and you interrupt me and bring up something else, you know, a lot of times I'll just stop and just say, you know, well, let's deal with that later. And you interrupt me again, I'll just let you talk for a second, say, see you, and I'll turn and walk off and let you talk. Why? Because if you don't hear what I want, if you don't want to hear the truth of what I'm trying to tell you with that, there's no use for me to pray with you because you're going in a different direction than me. And so the Lord Jesus would always preach the gospel of the kingdom, show you what the kingdom was about, show you the truth of the kingdom. And when you came in alignment with that and came in agreement with that, you released Him then to release the power of the kingdom to operate in your life. Amen? But you had to hear what He has to say so you can come in agreement with what He's wanting to do. Amen? So the Lord put the preaching of the gospel first. He put that hearing of the gospel first. In fact, look over here in Luke's gospel, and let's look in the 6th chapter. Luke chapter 6. Like I told you, this is healing school. I want you to grab a hold of some things. And the emphasis I'm wanting to make is this. You have to come to God and approach God according to His word. You can never know the will of God if you don't know the word of God. Amen. And you will never have faith to believe God if you don't know what the Word says. Because faith is always built on the Word of God. But here's the thing. If you are standing and operating on the Word of God, you have a sure, firm foundation against any attack that the devil's going to throw at you. Amen? Why? Jeremiah 1:12, one translation says, God watches over His Word to perform it. Hallelujah. Amen? So therefore, if I'm standing on God's Word, then God is watching over that Word so He can make that Word work in my life. Amen? Remember what He said in Isaiah 55? He said, "So shall my Word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It'll not return unto me void, but it will produce that wherein I sent it." Amen? Meaning what? If God speaks a word to you, He means for that Word to work in your life. Amen? That Word has the power of God in it. That Word has the ability to heal you, deliver you, and set you free from whatever the affliction is that the devil's throwing against you. Why? Because God's Word is alive. And so if we'll operate on the Word, we're operating in the life and the power of God. Amen? So we ought to be Word people. Amen. What do you mean, Word people? Well, the first thing you do when an enemy attacks is this. You ought to go to God's Word and call out to Him and say, "Lord, now speak this Word into my spirit so that I have a foundation and a strength in me so I can stand in the power of the Word." Amen? And do what the Word says. Now, look here in Luke chapter 6, we mentioned to you. Look down here in verse 17. It says, "And He, Jesus, came down with them, and He stood in a level place with the crowd of His disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from all the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases." Notice the hearing came before the healing. "Who came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases." Hallelujah. See, as they heard Him, that released the power of God to work for them. Amen. Study the Bible out, and you'll find every time somebody gets a miracle by using their faith, they're operating on what they heard. Amen. Remember over in Mark's gospel, the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says that she heard of Jesus, and she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, "If I may just touch His clothes." What was she doing? She was basing all of her faith, all of her confession, all of her actions on what she had heard that Jesus was saying. Amen? And so, therefore, you and I should be following those same patterns. Before we ever start confessing anything, before we start praying for anything, before we start believing for anything, we ought to go to God and get in His Word and let His Word speak to us, His will, and then base our faith and believing on the Word of God. I was praying over this, meditating on this, and the Lord spoke this to me. He said, "Son," He said, "if the Word is the foundation and the source of your confession, it'll work in every area of your life. No matter what you're speaking will come to pass if it's originating out of the Word of God in your heart." Amen? In other words, Jesus said over Mark 11, 23, He said, "Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt, but shall believe in his heart, those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." Remember that? Of course, he's talking to a mountain, but we're talking about speaking and believing. And the Lord spoke to him and He said, "If you'll receive the Word down in your heart and let the Word be the foundation and the source of what you're saying," He said, "it will empower your confession to produce in your life what you're saying." That's why He told David spoke over there with that revelation. He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." In other words, as that redemption becomes a reality in your life and you speak it out, it'll work in your life. Amen? That's why when you get in a test or a trial, but you know what the Word says and you know who you are in Christ, you don't go feeling sorry for yourself. You don't go around, feeling like I'm going to backslide or give up. What do? You just call out to the Lord, get right back on His Word, and keep doing what He told you to do. Come on. Can I have an amen? Amen. But you have to have that Word working in. You notice they came to hear and to be healed. Well, did it work? Verse 18 goes on and says, "as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed." In other words, people that were tormented, they kept having all these thoughts, and these devils were messing with their mind, and the devil's telling them, you can't make it, and you never change. And what they did? They brought all those tormenting thoughts and listened to Jesus and got set free from them. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like to be able to think good thoughts and not, demon thoughts. Amen. I don't want tormented mind. I want a peace mind, praise God. I want to have confidence and not a lack of confidence operating me. And it says here in verse 19, he finishes it up by saying, "and the whole multitude sought to touch him." Why? "For power went out of him and healed them all." Who is that power going out and healing? All those who came to hear and be healed. Those who heard. You know, the Bible teaches over there in Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, when Jesus is teaching on the parable. You know what he said over there? He said, let everyone that has ears to hear, let him hear. See, some of you right now, you've got ears to hear. You're tuning in, praise God. You're concentrating on hearing what I'm preaching to you, and the Holy Spirit's operating in this realm, and he's ministering to you, and he's doing this. And then some of you are letting the enemy distract you, and you're thinking about this and thinking about that and whatever. And you know what? When it's all said and done, the power won't flow to you if you've let the enemy torment your mind, get you off on everything else. Because you have to make yourself hear what it's saying. These people came to hear and be healed. In other words, they had a purpose for being there. Amen? They knew they were in trouble. They knew they had struggles. They knew that they needed healing. They knew they needed deliverance. And they knew that the only place I'm going to get that is through Jesus. So I don't want to be distracted. I don't care what's going on around me. I'm blotting that out. I need to hear what the Word is saying coming out of that man's mouth. Amen? You say, well, but you're not Jesus. No, I'm not. But I'm his messenger speaking his word to you right now, praise God. And I'm doing this in his name under his authority, and therefore he's speaking. And right now, as I've been speaking this word, some of y'all have been hearing, and the word of God is flowing into you, and the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, and he said some things to you I haven't even said. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is taking the parts of this message you need to hear and speaking it into your spirit so faith will come to you, praise God. See, when you set yourself to hear, it opens God up to speak to you the very thing you need to hear in that situation, praise God. Are you listening to me? It's amazing to me. I've been in services and have somebody come up and say, oh, Pastor, I mean, that was so good. You said this and this and this. I'm like, dear Lord, I didn't say that. And this verse you spoke, it just really ministered to me. And I think, that's not in my notes. I know I didn't quote that verse. I'm thinking, what service were they in? God said, mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, see, the Lord will take the word and begin to show you things in that word that's just specific for you, praise God. Just like these multitudes. Not everybody had the same problem, but they were all listening to the same Lord. And his words, each different words, were ministering to different things in their lives, praise God. Why? Because God always operates through his word. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer of that word. Remember John 16:13, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and who will guide you in all the truth. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit begins to guide us into this truth as we hear the word. And it's so important that we get into this word and hear it, because Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of his words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. In other words, if I don't complicate this thing. See, don't say it gives understanding to the simple. Well, you call me simple. No. He's saying this to those who don't let it get complicated and crazy, but just simplify and say, Lord, just make this simple so I can see it and grasp it. Did you ever notice how simple Jesus made things when he was on the earth? I mean, you know, he'd go out and teach shepherds, you know, about tending sheep, praise God. And then he'd go with fishermen, he'd talk to them about catching fish, turn it to catching men. And then, you know, he would minister in different things. Why? Because the entrance of his words gives light. And so, It gives understanding. When I sit down and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to simplify this. Good God, bad devil. Good word, bad word. I hear good God, good word. I get good results. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I want you to let that word help me to get into my life. Because the entrance of your words. See, not just having the word with you. Not just being in church where the word's at. But letting that word enter into your life, enter into your thought process, enter into your heart, enter into the way you believe, enter into your attitudes. The entrance of your words gives light. Amen? And it brings understanding. All of a sudden, when that light shines, I go, whoa, I understand this. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. That means I don't have to stay sick and defeated and broken. By what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, I don't have to stay tormented and insecure and defeated and in distress. I can actually call out upon the Lord, act on his word, and it will heal me and deliver me and set me free. And you begin to see it. You begin to understand. It's simple. Hear, receive, do, and God will bless you. Praise God. Amen? So we have to receive the entrance of that word. Now, how am I going to do that? Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, the second chapter. I want you to see something here. The Apostle Peter tells us that we have something to do if we're going to get this to work for us. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, therefore, laying aside, everybody say laying aside. That's the same thing as in Hebrews 12 where he says strip away and lay aside. Get rid of anything that's going to keep you from receiving what God has for you. Amen? It is not worth hanging on to something that's going to trip you up. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it was like in the past. Get rid of it. Therefore, laying aside what? All malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Notice he puts all evil speaking in there. Somebody says, well, I done quit cussing. Well, I'm glad you did, but are you still talking doubt, unbelief, bondage, failure, criticism? See, God called doubt and unbelief evil speaking over Numbers. Remember when the spies turned back up, two of them came in, Joshua and Caleb said, hey, we're well able to go over and take that land. But the other 10 came in, and the Bible says, gave an evil report. Well, what was their evil report? We're not able to do it. Doubt and unbelief. So God says, you need to get rid of all evil speaking, not just, bad language, not just a critical tongue, but get rid of doubt and unbelief out of your life. Amen? Quit talking failure. Quit talking bondage. Quit talking sickness and disease. Quit talking I can't. Start talking the Word of God. Amen? Start speaking out. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what God says about you. Yeah, but Pastor, it don't look like it's so. I don't care if it looks like it's so or not. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And you'll never see it by faith until you start speaking it and believing it and acting upon it. Amen? Notice he said he sent his word and healed them. That's a process. That doesn't mean that you change instantly. It means that you instantly begin to change. I'm going to say it again. Come on. He sent his word and healed them. That doesn't mean you're instantly healed and changed. It means you instantly begin to be healed and changed. And the more you say it, and the more you believe it, and the more you act upon it, the more it works in your life, praise God. That's why Peter is teaching us here. And he's saying to us, if you're going to get changed and transformed and delivered and walk in the blessing of God, he says you got to get rid of the things that are keeping you from that. Then look what he says in verse 2. And as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Look what he's saying. He's saying you have to desire the word. You have to come to God and say, God, I don't care how immature I am. I'll just drink it from a bottle. Hallelujah. Because God, I'm going to do what it takes for me to grow my faith. I'm going to do what it takes for me to walk in life and health and deliverance and blessing. And God, the only way I'm going to get there is through your word. Amen? And let me tell you something, folks. Even though you make up your mind to get in the word, you're still going to have tests and trials and afflictions. Did you read over there? We read it. We already saw that. Amen? You're going to have tests. Even in in Matthew 7, Jesus is teaching over there about the parable, the wise man and the foolish man. Remember what he said over there? He said, the wise man hears the word, builds his house on that word, digs deep, gets down and lays it on a rock. Hallelujah. Said, the foolish man hears the word, don't do anything about it, and builds his house on the sand. You ever remember reading that parable? And this is what happens next. He says, then the floods come, the rains beat, torrential rains, and waves hit. And the first thing you know, the man who built his house on the rock of the word, his house stands. But the man who just heard the word and went on by feelings, whatever, built his house on the sand, there was no foundation. And that same test, that same storm took his house down. Now here's the thing. They were both believers. They both went to church. They both heard the word. One became a doer of that word and put it to work in his life and began to let it change everything and begin to build his life on what Jesus said. The other one built his house and built his life on what he wanted to do. Oh, it got quiet, real quiet now, didn't it? Amen. Because he's seeing this. He's saying, whether you're a strong, on fire, spiritual Christian or you're a weak, barely getting along, making it to heaven Christian, you're both going to have storms hit your house. And how you come out of that storm is going to be dependent on how much of that stuff you laid aside and got rid of and all that junk. Amen? I was hearing where, I heard somebody say that whenever a big wave rushes up like a tidal wave or something and it comes in inland, he said, a lot of people are drowned not just because they got caught in the water, but because of all the debris in the water. The stuff hits them and knocks them out and it kills them and stuff, and they didn't have a chance. A lot of them, if there wasn't so much junk in the water, they could have possibly survived it. But they get hit by all the junk that's in the water, and that's really what kills them. And see, the devil comes in, if we haven't gotten into the Word, and what he does is he takes the junk that's still in our life and beats us to death with it during the storm. He takes our fears, takes our insecurities, takes our worries, takes our doubts, and starts pounding us with them. And if we haven't built on the rock of the Word of God, those things will take us down. But if we're standing there, every time he hits me with a doubt, I speak the Word. Every time he hits me with a fear, I speak the Word. Every time he hits me with insecurity, I speak the Word. All of a sudden, that storm's gone, and my house is still standing, and Jesus is my Lord, and I come through that thing victorious. Amen? And now I've got a hope and an experience because I know God's Word works for me. Hallelujah. The key to it is you have to stand in the Word. And to stand in the Word, guess what? You have to renew your mind to what God says. You have to think like God. You have to get your mind thinking the way he says. Notice he says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow. In other words, if I'm going to grow my faith and grow with God, I have to get in the Word. Receive what the Word says. Meditate in the Word. I have to learn the Word. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans, the 12th chapter. I want you to see something here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Listen to what Paul says. And be not conformed to this world. That word conform means don't act like, talk like, or be like. It's an outward conformity. Don't take on yourself the appearance and the attitude of the world. We could say it like that. Well, how am I going to do that, Paul? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice this. He says the only way, and you got to remember now, Paul is writing to Christians. Okay, he's not writing to sinners. He's writing to people who have committed their lives to Christ. He's writing to people that love God. And he says, don't take upon the appearance or the attitude or the actions of the world. Quit being like the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world tell you what you're supposed to be like. Amen? But be transformed. What's that mean? Transfigured. Remember when Jesus was on the mount there with Peter and John and the glory cloud came down, it says, and he was transfigured in front of them and he glowed and he said had the two prophets there with. What? That's the same thing that this word means. It means that you go from living a mundane life of doubt and fear and worry, even though you're a Christian, to someone who has changed and transformed with the power of God operating in your life. Well, how am I going to get there? By the renewing of your mind. Amen? We used to say it like this. You'll never rise above your thinking. And so, therefore, get rid of the stinky thinking so that you can start operating in the blessings of the Lord. Amen? And so, therefore, you and I have to get our minds renewed. We have to begin to think differently. Whenever sickness attacks, we need to see it as an enemy, not God teaching me something. When sickness attacks, we need to see it as something that we need to get on real quick and get the Word off after it and begin to run it off. Hallelujah. And we need to know that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever and begin to operate that in our life. Amen? Now, how am I going to renew my mind? Well, let's finish this up over in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Verse 20, we'll look down to verse 22. How am I going to do this? Proverbs 4:20. My son, notice he didn't say my enemy, my servant, or my outcast. No, he said my son. So he's talking to us. God is speaking through Solomon, and he's really speaking to us through him, through the natural, but through the Spirit. He's really referring to us as an intimate child. And here's what he's saying to you and me. My son, give attention to my words. Hallelujah. The King James says, attend to my words. Well, if you're attending to something or giving it attention, that means you're focused on it, aren't you? Amen? So you know what he's saying? He's saying, in your walk with me, the first thing I want you to do is give attention to my words. I want you to focus in on what my words have to say. Then he says, incline your ear to my sayings. What's that mean? That means be led by the Spirit of God. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he'll not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears from the Father, he will tell it to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. That's the sayings of Jesus. Have you ever been going along and the Lord has told you, get in the Word? That's the saying of the Lord. Have you ever been going along and heard this you heard it in your heart, but you thought you heard it in your head, and it said something comes along and says, you need to pray right now. Or you ever been going along? I have. I've been going along, and I've been thinking something, and the Lord say, don't think on that, think on this. See, we need to listen to not only God's Word speaking to us, but we need to listen to the Holy Ghost speaking to us. Hallelujah. And let Him speak into us the truth of the Word of God. So He says, number one, give attention to my words. Number two, incline your ears to my sayings. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God speaking His Word to you. Amen? Then look what he says. Do not let them depart from your eyes. What do you mean, don't let them depart from your eyes? Well, the moment you quit seeing yourself well, you let the Word depart from your eyes. The moment you start seeing yourself defeated, the Word has departed from your eyes. He's saying you need to look at the Word and not at the problem. You need to see yourself the way the Word says you are, not the way the world says you are. And so to let the Word depart from my eyes means I quit looking at what God says, and now I'm looking at something else. And guess what? Whatever you're looking at has your attention. And whatever has your attention is what you're listening to. And whatever you're listening to is going to direct your life. So God says you need to keep your eyes on the Word. Don't get your eyes off on the symptoms, on the problems, on what this one said, that one said, or what it looks like. Because if you start looking away from the Word, then it'll have your attention, and whatever has your attention will have your listening, and that's what you're hearing. And so now it's controlling your direction again. So many people backslide because they get their eyes on what somebody said or some situation or some problem, or they didn't get an answer like they thought there was. And so therefore they take their eyes off of what God says and they begin to look around to see if there's a problem or if there's another way. And the moment you take your eyes off the Word of God, you give place for the enemy to get you in the wrong path. Right. So he says, let not the Word depart from your eyes. Don't matter what's going on, keep looking at the Word. Don't matter what somebody else is saying, stay with the Word. You say, well, you're being fanatical about this. I absolutely am. I'm an absolute fanatic when it comes to this. Why are you an absolute fanatic for this? Because I've been doing this for over 40 years, and it works in my life, and it'll work in your life. Amen. Somebody says, I don't know if I can believe that it'll work for me like that. You could get it if you believe it like I do. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, what do you do when you're facing a problem? I cry out unto the Lord in my troubles, and He heals me from my destruction and delivers me. How? He sends His Word and heals me and gets me through that thing. And if I'm struggling, I realize, you know what? I'm looking at the wrong thing. I've done let the Word depart from my eyes, and I'm looking at the problem. And you ever notice the more you look at a problem, the bigger it gets? Huh? And the more attention you give it, the worse it looks. And the next thing you know, you listen, and it's talking to you. Huh? You're going to die. You ain't getting out of this one. I got you beat. I'm gonna hit you. And you know your faith ain't big enough to get you out of this mess. Huh? Why don't you just quit? You know you can't never change that. And the more you look at it, the more you hear Him saying that. And then it gets your attention. You know what you do? You sit down and go, oh my God, I thought I was doing good. Maybe I'm not. And you start doubting yourself. And worse than that, you start doubting God. So what am I going to do in that mess? I'm going to do what David said to do. I know I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm not going to let the devil steal my confession. I'm going to say so, even though it doesn't look so. I'm going to say it so. And I'm going to cry out to the Lord. And I'm going to ask Him to send me a word. I need a word from God. I need You, Lord. I'm not talking about a prophetic. I'm talking about, God, show me in Your word what I need to do in this situation. Amen? Because I know God will take that word and make it work in my life if I will believe it and act upon it. Amen? Notice what He says. Let's finish it up here. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. See, you got to get this word from your head to your heart. And then you got to keep it in your heart. Well, Pastor, I thought if I got it in my heart, I was okay. No, remember in Mark 4, in verse 15, the word got in their hearts, and it says, then the devil came immediately to steal the word out of their hearts. Satan's after the word. He can get it out of your heart if you let him. He'll take the word right up out of your heart and put fear in there. Instead of faith, you'll walk around in defeat. Amen? So I got to keep that word in my heart. How do I know if it's in my heart? Well, let's read on the next verse. For they, God's words, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Is it working or is it not? What are you saying? See, the Bible teaches us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Remember reading that over in Matthew? Huh? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Well, how do I know if the devil's got the word out of my heart? What's coming out of your mouth? Are you talking defeat or are you talking the word? Because if the word's in your heart and you're keeping the word in your heart, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. If your redemption is in your heart, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. If the word of God is in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. You can't help it. But if you let the devil steal the word out of your heart, doubt will come out of your mouth. Fear will come out of your mouth. Discouragement will come out of your mouth. You will talk all the problems and all the struggles. You get around somebody that the word has gotten out of their heart, the devil stole it, and I'll tell you what, they'll tell you more about their symptoms and troubles than they can tell you the scripture that they're standing on. And then you ask him, what scripture you stand on? And say, well, let me think. And then we can't understand why the power of God isn't flowing into that situation. Why am I not delivered yet? Because you can tell me everything that's got you bound. But you can't tell me one scripture that would set you free. And Jesus did, David, you know, the Spirit of God through David didn't say, let the redeemed of the Lord tell you all the problems. Said, let the redeemed of the Lord tell you their redemption that they have in Christ. And you see, you're going to have to learn how to carry on a conversation, actually an argument with the devil. Amen? What do you mean, Pastor? I mean the devil will talk to you. Anybody, I don't know if the devil talks to me or not. You've been listening to him all day. Come on now. It's funny to me. People come up and say, I don't know if I'm hearing from the Lord or not. But they never say, I don't know if I'm hearing from the devil or not. I mean, everybody knows the devil's voice. Somebody says, what's the devil's voice? Doubt, fear, unbelief, bondage, destruction. You can't do it. You'll never change. And you see, when the enemy comes in and attacks you like that, that's why you have to keep the word in your eyes and in your mouth and in your heart, because you respond to those accusations and attacks by the word. You speak the word. And you see, that's how Jesus did it. Remember Matthew 4? Jesus was in the wilderness, led there by the Spirit of God. He'd just gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. John had baptized, the Spirit of God came on him. Spirit told him to go into the wilderness after 40 days. Jesus is in the wilderness, and here comes the devil. What's the devil do? He said, well, if you're the Son of God, I know you're starving to death. You hadn't had anything to eat for 40 days. My God, man, eat. There's a rock over there. You got power. Just turn it into a slice of bread and eat, buddy. I know you're hungry. Go ahead. Nobody's out here but me and you. Nobody's looking. Nobody would ever know if you took the power of God and used it for yourself. Just go ahead and turn that into, I tell you what, if you don't like bread, turn it into a nice roll. With butter all over it. And Jesus hadn't eaten anything for 40 days. And the devil's talking to his flesh. You know, Jesus said, Mr. Devil, it is written. He didn't even discuss the matter with him. He didn't say, I'm not going to do that. He didn't say, I'm not even going to think. He didn't even discuss the matter. You know what Jesus did? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the devil, oh man, that hurt. Well, I can't get him with some food. See if I can talk him into killing himself. So he takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple and he says, listen, the word says that God will cause his angels to take care of you and you won't even stub your toe, jump off and let the angels catch and prove to. Okay. He's quoting the 91st Psalm to him, part of it. You know, the devil will quote you scripture, but he'll take it out of context. See, the part of that verse, that chapter he didn't quote was this, that the Lord would tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He didn't want to say that to him. He says, oh, he said he'll give his angel charge over you. They'll hold you up in their hands lest you dash foods against stuff. No. As you're doing God's will. He misquoted it. He only takes half scripture. You know what Jesus did? He didn't even discuss that with him. He just said, devil, it is written, you'll not tempt the Lord God Almighty. What is wrong with you? And then the devil said, well, let's see if I can get him spiritually. Instead of having to go through that cross and all that suffering, Jesus, I'll tell you what let's do. You just bow down here right now. And all this glory of this planet, everything on this planet, I'll give it to you. You won't even have to fight. You won't have to ever suffer one thing. Just go ahead and compromise and worship me. And I'll let you have it. And see, that's how he hits us. Why get in the Word? Why go to church? Why give? I mean, look at all the fun you're missing out on. Remember those great days you had? Yeah, that's what got you in the mess. They weren't so great. You know, Jesus didn't, he got mad at him on that one. He said, listen, Mr. Devil, it is written in the Word that you'll worship the Lord God Almighty and Him alone. Now you just hit the road, man. And he spoke the Word. Why could Jesus do that? Because the Word was in him. He refused to see anything else but the Word. He refused to let his attention be taken away from the Word. He refused to listen to the lies the enemy was throwing at him with the Word. And he just stood on his ground. And you know what? When that storm was over, angels came and ministered to Jesus. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that he walked out of that desert and he walked into the synagogue, grabbed the scroll from Isaiah and read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach this gospel, heal people, deliver them, and set them free. And the power of God fell in that place. But he had to get through the storm before he could walk into victory. Amen? Folks, this is why we got to get in the Word. You got to get in the Word. Because you see, if you get in the Word's become life to all of us and health to all of our flesh. It's life and healing to us. This Word is what's going to heal you. His Word's what's going to bring life to you. His Word's what's going to give you the power to walk in victory. This Word's going to give you victory over the attacks and over the storms and over everything that's coming your way. That's why you have to renew your mind to think like, talk like, believe like, and act like the Word of God is so. And the more you have ears to hear it, the more you receive it in your heart, the more it will change and transform your life. And the more you do it, the more it'll work in your life. And the more you refuse to let the enemy steal it from you and you stand on it, the stronger you'll get in God. Amen? Because Peter said, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The more Word I get in me, the more I grow. The more I grow, the stronger I get. The more stronger I get, the more results I'll see in my life. Amen? And it all starts with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, there are three main scriptures you need to stand on for healing. And we're going to, this was a general session to teach you on the importance of getting in the Word. But now we're going to start directing all of our attention towards healing. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, and 1 Peter 2, 24 are the three main redemptive scriptures that every believer should stand on for healing. And I always like them in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says this way, surely, glory to God, that means it's absolute. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. I put Jesus in there because remember in the 8th chapter of Acts, whenever, you know, Philip is preaching to the eunuch, he heard him reading from Isaiah 53 and he preached Christ to him. So we know that he's talking about Jesus here, the Isaiah. So surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as with leprosy. Now, listen to this. Whenever I'm standing on the Word of God, meditating on the Word, here's how I do it. I say, surely, Lord Jesus, you've borne my griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and you've carried my sorrows and pains of punishment. Therefore, today, I resist and give no place to grief, sickness, weakness, or distress. I will not be sorrowful, and I will have no pain, and I refuse any kind of punishment in my life. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I speak it out. Then I go to verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. I stop right there and I say, Lord, I thank you that you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my guilt and iniquities. Therefore, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation in my life because my sins are blotted out and I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Then I read this, the chastisement needful, and I put me in it. I always make them personal. The chastisement needful for me to obtain peace and well-being was upon you, Lord Jesus. So therefore, I just go ahead and receive my peace and well-being right now. And with the stripes that wounded you, Lord, I am healed and made whole. Hallelujah. And I say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed and made whole today because you've borne this for me. Praise God. Then in Matthew 8, 16 and 17, it says, when evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. How did he heal them? With the word. Amen. So here's what I say, Lord, I thank you today that you deliver me from every attack of the demon with your word and you heal me from all disease. And in verse 17 says, and he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. See, he himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. Lord, thank you that you've borne it so I don't have to. Therefore, I receive my healing. Then 1 Peter 2:24, he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it that we might die and cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Lord, I thank you that by your wounds and stripes I am healed. Praise God. Somebody says, how long do you say that? Till I get it. Amen. Glory to God. I just say it. And say it, and say it, and say it, and say it until it manifests. Praise God. Then when it manifests, I thank God for it. Thank you, Lord. I had what to say. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And somebody says, do you wait till you're sick? No, I do it every morning. Praise God. I don't wait till I'm sick. Well, you know, why wait till you're hungry till you eat? Praise God. Amen. Huh? Glory to God. Eat because you enjoy it, not because you have to have it. Praise God. No, I get in the Word. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I want to stay healed. See, this is the thing, folks. There are levels of this. One level is, you pray and you get healed. Then another level is this. You learn how to walk in it yourself and get your healing. And then the other one is this. You learn how to just live healed. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want to live healed. I don't want to spend all my time trying to get healed. I want to live healed. And when the enemy tries to hit me with something, I can just knock him off. Praise God. Well, the more word you have in you, the more it works. Now, we handed out this right here. It's called 101 Things God Said About Healing. And as you notice, it'll start from Exodus. And it'll bring you all the way up through the New Testament. Praise God. And we put this out. And I wanted to put it in here because like I said, you know, the formula for you developing healing faith and deliverance faith is attending to the Word, inclining your ear to God's sayings and to His Word. Let it not depart from your eyes, but getting it down into your heart. Right. Amen? And to get it down into your heart, you have to spend time with it, praise God. You have to renew your mind to it. How many of you found out that just because you read it once didn't change the way you think? Right. Huh? You have to read it over. I don't know about you, but with me, it took me a while to change some of my thinking. I had to stay with it until I quit thinking the way I used to think. I mean, you know, if you've had a stronghold in your life, you may not be able to change that with the first time you read this. So you just have to stay with it and stay with it until you rethink that thing. And the entrance of that word comes into you and you begin to see it in light of the word, not the way you were. Amen. And so you begin to change your thinking by getting in the word. Now, I'm not going to go through this, but what you have to do is this. You have to get into this word. And you need to speak the word. You need to call them out, just like in verse 1. He says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, Exodus 15:26. Well, that's exactly what he told the Israelites. God formed a covenant with the Israelites when he brought them out of bondage. And he said, listen, if you hearken unto my voice and do those statutes which I command you, I'll take all these evil sicknesses and diseases off of you that was upon you back over there upon the Egypt, and I'll be the Lord God who heals you. In other words, I'll be your doctor, your great physician. I'll be your healer, praise God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want God to be my doctor and my healer. Nothing against you, doc, but praise God. I mean, the higher doctor, praise God. But all these things are medicine. Are you listening to me? You have to look at the word like it's medicine. Notice what he said over there. He said, for my words are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. That's medicine, praise God. So you know what? I'm going to take this just as if I was taking medicine. Well, if you go to a doctor, you know, he may give you a prescription. You go get the prescription filled, and that prescription says take 3 times a day for the next 10 days. Well, you know, if you take it 1 time a day for the next 10 days, you may not get any results. Or if you take it 3 times 1 day and one miss the next couple days and then take 2 the next day, and well, what was you doing? I was trying to stretch it out. Well, it don't work. But you know what happens if you follow the directions and do it 3 times a day? You know what happened? All things being equal, it'll work in your life. Amen? Right. That's why you have to take God's word. You have to look at it like medicine. And that means that you take it every day. I take God's word like vitamins. Hallelujah. I want a good multiple vitamin operating in my system to help me to be strong, praise God. Well, this word is multiple vitamins, hallelujah, because it will fit in and help you in every area of your life. But you got to give yourself to it. So therefore, we've done this. Now, we're going to also make it available in another way. We'll get that word out to you here where you can download it. But this is something that you could take and start with, praise God. I'll tell you what my wife does. I don't think there's a morning miss that she doesn't go through all 101 of these and speak them out. That's part of her morning devotions. If I can't find her, I know where she's sitting, downstairs in our living room in her chair with her light on, their Bible open, in her robe with a fire on, even in July, and she's going through these scriptures. She's speaking them into her life. Amen. Just it's a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's a constant growing process with you and Jesus, and living in the light of His Word. Amen.